Hey everyone, I'm Thanos Davelis, and welcome back to The Greek Current, a podcast by the Hellenic American Leadership Council and Kathimerini, where we highlight the top stories of the day every afternoon with analysis from guest experts, policymakers, journalists, and HELC staff. Andy Zamenidis, the executive director of the Hellenic American Leadership Council, joins The Greek Current today to discuss what he describes as a failure by the United States to make any meaningful impact in and around the latest UN-led Cyprus talks in Geneva. We explore why the U.S. dropped the ball here and what steps it should take if it is serious about playing a key role in the Eastern Mediterranean. We also look at recent initiatives in Congress to hold Turkey accountable for violating the religious freedoms of the Ecumenical Patriarchate, Orthodox Christians, and other minorities, and much more. Andy, welcome back on The Greek Current.
Thanks, Thanos. Good to be back with you.
In your latest analysis of the talks that took place in Geneva on the Cyprus issue, you note that while the Biden administration understands the value of clear signaling, especially when it comes to Turkey, it just completely dropped the ball on Cyprus. How has the U.S. dropped the ball here, as you say?
Well, I kick off that piece with a little bit of sarcasm, saying that maybe the State Department was more consumed with the NFL draft than the Geneva talks, and that was just a just kidding. It also does not help that a lot of the administration is still in transition. Victoria Nuland, Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs, only took office today. The incoming Assistant Secretary of State for Europe has not had her confirmation hearing. So, frankly, there were more difficulties, kind of from a process standpoint. But that would have argued even more for Secretary Blinken getting involved. This was not for him to say anything different than he's already been on the record in front of both the House of Representatives, House Foreign Affairs Committee, and in the Senate during his confirmation hearing at the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. And as a chief foreign policy spokesperson during the campaign, the 2020 campaign. And without that stature, that Secretary of State coming out and telling Turkey, what you guys are talking about is just completely unacceptable, non-starter. Don't embarrass yourself by asking for it as a Security Council vote. That is dropping the ball.
Andy, have we seen any reasoning from the State Department on why Secretary Blinken was not taking a much more forward stance on this?
Well, I don't know if he took a stance, a more forward stance, because he already has taken the forward stance. It's just that he should have been on the call. That's my position. And not only for the resolution of the Cyprus issue and his involvement to help get a breakthrough in the process, but also not to concede any ground to other powers and other players in the Eastern Mediterranean. We saw that Foreign Minister Lavrov made a call. The Foreign Minister of China made a call. The Foreign Minister of France made a call. The Foreign Minister of the United Kingdom was actually one of the parties to the negotiations. So for the U.S. to be the one left out, that's bad signaling as well. So, you know, I'm not even sure that the case was made to the secretary that he should have done it. But this is something that has to be rectified sooner rather than later. The U.S. has, as we saw in the Eastern Mediterranean Security and Energy Partnership Act, as we've seen in the readouts of the President Biden with Prime Minister Mitsotakis, with Secretary Blinken and Foreign Minister Avendias, the United States at all levels of government is more intent on playing a role, whether it be through the 3+1, the EastMed Gas Forum, where the United States is now an observer country. Obviously, NATO plays in the region, but the U.S. has declared its intention to not only play a bigger role in the Eastern Mediterranean, but to check malign influences. And we know at least one of the malign influences that they've identified as Russia. And to let Russia take a more leading role here than the U.S. does is kind of negligent.
You write that the U.S., if it's serious about its engagement in the Eastern Mediterranean, it needs to build greater credibility in Cyprus. What immediate steps do you think Washington should take to build that credibility now?
Well, there should be a public statement, or they can call it a restatement, of Turkey's two-state insistence is completely unacceptable. It's never going to go anywhere at the UN, and it's not going to make any inroads in Washington. There should also be, because, again, Secretary Blinken has been public about this, there should be a strong statement about any further moves in Famagusa or the beach town of Arosha. There are some people who are predicting that the Turks, to try to shake things loose, may make yet another move beyond the quote-unquote reopening and the Erdogan picnic back in the fall in Varosha, to try to use Varosha as a greater bargaining chip. The United States should be very clear, very blunt, and very forceful on accountability when it comes to Varosha. It's an issue. It's a city that's subject to UN Security Council resolutions. The U.S. has been on board with those UN Security Council resolutions. This administration has been very forward and clear that these moves are unacceptable. And let's remember that when President Biden was vice president and visited Cyprus, his intention was to get some breakthrough on Varosha. So Turkey defied him once on this. President Biden and Secretary Blinken and National Security Advisor Sullivan, who also was on the Cyprus trip, should be pretty clear that another bad move on Varosha is going to cost Turkey with Washington.
And in a panel discussion today at the Delphi Economic Forum, you spoke with Senator Chris Van Hollen, who was clear about the position the United States should take, not only on Cyprus, but also vis-a-vis holding Turkey accountable. What were the main takeaways from his comments?
Well, the senator actually made them one and the same. He says, we have to make it clear that there is going to be no recognition ever of the pseudo-state and the occupation regime in the north. And he pointed to the last couple of years as evidence that the United States is ready to go beyond rhetoric. He pointed specifically to the ejection of Turkey from the F-35 program, the imposition of CATSA sanctions, and indicating that there is a new age, that, you know, Senator Van Hollen has always been one who has argued quiet diplomacy is not the way to go with Turkey. Be blunt, be honest, and hold them accountable. And this is exactly what should be happening here. And unfortunately, there are still enough people in policymaking roles, and maybe even in the U.S. Embassy in Nicosia, that play a kind of an equidistance, and they tend to treat the Republic of Cyprus as just a Greek Cypriot community. No, the Republic of Cyprus is exactly what President Biden called it back in 2014. It's a strategic partner. It's an EU state. And we should be playing on a loop over and over. So Turkey gets a message. Their new ambassador in Washington, who's on his charm offensive, gets his message. Their troll farm gets his message. We have Joe Biden's words that there is only one Republic of Cyprus, that's the position of the United States. That's, in President Biden's words, his own personal position. And it's a position of the entire world, save one country. So that has to be clarified again.
And yeah, I want to move us to the House of Representatives, where this Friday, the co-chairs of the Congressional Hellenic Caucus, Representatives Carolyn Maloney and Gus Bilirakis, introduced bipartisan legislation that would hold Turkey accountable for violating the religious freedoms of the Ecumenical Patriarchate, Greek Orthodox Christians, and other religious minorities. This move comes after President Biden finally formally recognized the Armenian Genocide, and after the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom issued its latest annual report on religious freedom in Turkey. What's significant about this legislation and its timing here?
Well, again, the genocide was recognized, and that was not only significant because of just recognizing a historical fact. It's because the legacy of the genocide continues. And one of the horrible legacies of the genocide is the treatment of Turkey's Christian minorities. When you have the Ecumenical Patriarch, the leader of the world's 300 million Christians, who can be relegated to no legal status, who can have his property seized, who needs absurd amount of permissions to act as a cleric from Turkey, and whose successor cannot be freely chosen by his faithful, well, that's a problem. You know, it might not be as bloody as the genocide 100 years ago, but this is a slow and intentional ethnic cleansing. And, you know, when we talk about timing, it was 9 years ago on March 25th that Erdogan, in a sideline meeting with President Obama one-on-one in Korea, told him, we're going to open the Halki Seminary. And in a press conference, President Obama turned around and thanked Erdogan for his decision to open the Halaki Seminary. We're 9 years plus. And that has been proven a lie. So, you know, we have what we just went through, which is the long overdue recognition of the Armenian genocide. We are coming up just next week under the commemoration of the biggest phase of the Greek genocide, which took place in the Pontus region. Then we have the fall of Constantinople. And it is very important that people know that the signal that the recognition of the Armenian genocide, the signal that was given by the Biden administration is, yes, we are going to prioritize human rights and religious rights, that this puts meat on it. Because if the ecumenical patriarch can continue to be oppressed and the religious communities, religious minorities can continue to be oppressed by Turkey, we're not serious.
Our promotion of this legislation raised the ire of some Turkish Twitter trolls. What's your take, or what are your thoughts on this, you know, Twitter game that we're seeing out of Ankara in response to not only this legislation, but also recognition of the Armenian genocide?
Yeah, well, trolling is, if they were characters in Lord of the Rings, everybody, the Turkish foreign ministry's diplomats would all have been cave trolls, because that's their favorite activity. They troll American politicians, they troll Greek journalists. Now they're trying to take advantage of the patriarch and the archbishop's friendliness or good manners when they accept invitations to visit with Turkish officials and put it up as proof that there is no complaint by the leaders of the Greek Orthodox Church about religious oppression. This particular troll, who used to serve as Consul General of Turkey in Illinois, his game is lousy. All he does is spew lies and threats. This one is probably yet another veiled threat against our church, just like he made veiled threats against Turkey's Jewish community, because David Harris of the American Jewish community spoke favorably about the recognition of the Armenian genocide. He's a professional liar, but what he doesn't notice is, yes, the church itself does talk about the lack of religious freedom for the ecumenical patriarch. The archons are a body of the church. They talk about it. The Greek Orthodox community in Turkey has taken Turkey to the European Court of Human Rights. And of course, our community here, which is stewards of that church, are advocating day in and day out. So this is not just some American politician doing this. And frankly, it's good enough for American politicians to raise the issue, especially since human rights and democracy are going to be one of the standards that we follow in our foreign policy right now.
Andy, thanks for joining us on The Greek Current again. It's great having you back on.
Thanks, Tano.
In other news, Greece reopened primary schools and junior highs for in-person classes Monday for the first time in months as the country eases coronavirus restrictions, even as daily infections and deaths remain high. Domestic travel between regions is also set to restart at the end of the week, along with the reopening of the tourism sector. Meanwhile, a third lockdown in Cyprus ended as new measures went into effect on Monday. While there is still a curfew in place, the government has replaced the SMS requirement with a corona pass as a temporary measure against the spread of the virus. The pass is the government's latest way to ascertain proof of immunity for individuals who wish to visit places where large crowds gather. Finally, Turkish Foreign Minister Mevlüt Çavuşoğlu traveled to Saudi Arabia on Monday as Turkey seeks to mend ties with the kingdom. Relations between the two countries hit an all-time low over the 2018 killing in Istanbul of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. The killing added to tensions over Turkey's support for the Muslim Brotherhood, while the two countries have also been at odds over Turkey's support for Qatar, as well as over the conflict in Libya. The visit is also part of a wider effort by Turkey to normalize ties with Arab nations as it finds itself isolated internationally at a time when its economy is faltering. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.